This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
What kind of impact was there when people came to the realization? I mean, you have the vote.
Yeah.
What point did it become real? You had just condemned him to die.
No, I think it's when we kind of just, when I stepped back into that courtroom after we made our decision and it was read, you know, I think at that point it was about as real as it got.
What went through your mind?
Like, wow, this is happening.
That is 23-year-old Kayvon Fagan. He was juror number 83 in the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev. The juror list remains officially under seal, but as you heard, WBUR's David Boeri and Jack Lepiarz spoke with Fagan just yesterday in his first extended public interview. David Boeri joins us in the studio now. Good to see you, David.
Hi, Meghna.
So tell us more about Kayvon Fagan. Who is he? What do we know about him?
23 years old. He's a college student. He was out of school for that semester during the trial, and he served as juror number 83. He's well-spoken, he's polite, very thoughtful young man. I was impressed with him. He's average, in many ways, average. He worked at Best Buy. He's a weightlifter, psychology major. And he's writing a book, Juror 83, The Tsarnaev Trial, 34 Days That Changed Me, which is coming out in September. And by the way, during voir dire, which is the individual questioning of prospective jurors, he came to my attention because there's an interesting story. His mother is from Iran. She converted from Islam to the Baha'i faith. There's a well-known history of persecution of those of the Baha'i faith in Iran. And so it became a question of 83 during that process, to which he responded about his ability to be fair. He said, I have nothing against Muslims.
Hmm. So we're going to talk in a moment more about what he told you specifically. But why is Fagan currently the only juror to be known?
It's a good question. And the fact of the matter is that for the last 100 and some days, the judge in this case, George O'Toole, has not released the jury list. This is absolutely unprecedented for this federal district. You know, typically, the jury list in a trial is released that same day. When it's a high-profile case, sometimes you get 7-day waiting lists, sometimes 10, maybe 2 weeks, as it was in Bulger. Never have we had a waiting list that's gone this long. It went for 100 days yesterday, no explanation why, and then suddenly the judge said, because there is a motion for a new trial from the defense, and they want to look at the social media contacts the jurors are made, he said, because we have this, I don't want reporters muddling into the process, so I'm not going to release the list until after I decided whether there's a new motion or not. By the way, it's not normal, but at this rate, maybe, and some people fear, this is going to become the new normal in the courts.
Well, right now, then, what we have is what Kayvon Fagan has told you and WBUR. What did he say about the decision he and his fellow jurors made to both convict Tsarnaev and sentence him to death?
Yeah, he wouldn't talk about actual deliberations. He doesn't want to talk about the other jurors and what they did. But here's what he said when I asked what the most important factor was that led him to that decision that Tsarnaev should die.
I you know, thought about it, obviously, a lot. But even with what I think there was influence from his brother, he still chose to leave that bomb there for about 4.5 minutes. So it's hard to get away from that, you know. You could try to brush it up, but there is just no brushing anything like that up as much as you want to, as much as I, you know, wanted to.
You'll hear that little sound that you might think is a giggle or a nervous reaction. A number of times yesterday, Meghna, he was welling up in tears. Mm. I asked him about what the most painful testimony was that he heard, and he went to that scene that's described by Steve Wolfenden. Steve was walking through the area with his boy Leo when the bomb went off, right where the Richards were, and he described listening to Steve Wolfenden, listening to a mother who was pleading with her son not to die. And we listened to that. And that, at the time, it was real. It brought it back for me. And that was riveting for him.
Oh, so David, what did Fagan say then about his, you know, mental state, obviously, after the trial? Just hearing you talk about it brings up that question. But also going into the trial as well.
Yeah, he says he's sought counseling since the judge made counseling available. And he's still struggling to deal with what he and fellow jurors experienced at the trial. And it was clear that they experienced that. And so part of the process of seeking the death penalty, by the way, is... You know, this is the reality. If you're seeking the death penalty, you have to inflame the jurors in order to get them to that point. And so that's why we had this continuity, this over and over again, images, video accounts of absolutely gruesome stuff. Here he is.
And it's still hard for me to talk about, you know, some of that testimony. So, yeah.
We knew that you cried and you saw your fellow jurors. Well, you had to have felt them crying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
of course.
Sometimes there was just open sobbing.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, you know, I think it'd be hard not to cry over some of the things that we had to listen to and see.
Mm. Well, David, there still are a lot of questions about, you know, how this jury was selected. I mean, you mentioned voir dire, the pretrial process. Did Kayvon talk to you at all about, you know, how much he knew about Tsarnaev going into the case?
Yeah, he said he didn't know very much. But this is one of the issues, and it's one of the issues for the defense, is the presumption of guilt that some people had. There was thought that there was a big enough pool that anybody that said they had presumption of guilt could have been dismissed. Instead, what the judge asked each of them who did have a presumption of guilt was, can you set that aside and be fair? Some people would argue, the defense would argue, that when a judge asks that of someone, someone is naturally going to say, yes, I can be fair. So that's that issue of presumption. I brought it up to him because we heard it when he was under individual questioning during voir dire. Here's what he said. Let me read you a line from your book. I sat there in complete vertigo. My head felt like it was floating somewhere above my body as I stared into the face of the most infamous person in America since 9/11.
Yeah.
Sounds like a presumption of guilt.
Somebody could misconstrue it like that, but no. I mean, to say that his actions didn't garner attention for himself, I mean... Who wouldn't be infamous?
Mm. You said during voir dire, obviously he was involved in something.
Yeah, of course. I mean, his face was on the news. He was a suspect in the bombings. And I believe in voir dire I said, you know, I don't think this is a case of mistaken identity.
You hear that, Maiden. You hear someone who is fairly comfortable, sounds fairly comfortable with what he did here. Then again, he's going to counseling, and part of the reason he's going to counseling is because he helped convict somebody that sends him to his death.
Well, David, you also, in that tape, we heard you quote Kayvon Fagan's book, which is coming out in September, as you said earlier, Juror 83, The Tsarnaev Trial, 34 Days That Changed Me. Did he talk about any reaction from his fellow jurors that he's writing a book that's going to come out so soon?
It has not gone down well with a group that is very, very tight. Now, this isn't surprising for trials where the trials are important, they're long, they're dramatic. And what can bind people more closely than the fact that each of them has done something that none of us have done or could imagine to do, which is to convict somebody and send him to his death, if, in fact, this goes through. The jurors, the fellow jurors, are not happy. We know they got tight. On the night of the verdict, they all went out for a drink together. No doubt this is the first time they could talk about the case and what they'd been through. And then on the night of the day of the actual formal sentencing, they also went out together. Now that group is sort of breaking, at least he is being isolated. The questions he's gotten, how dare you do this?
Mm. Now, we can't know what 100% what happened in the jury room, of course, but we do know, you know, attitudes outside of the courtroom amongst, you know, victims and survivors about the death penalty itself, right? Because, of course, the family of Martin Richard came out in that Boston Globe op-ed as opposing the death penalty. Did you talk to Kayvon Fagan about that, and what did he say about the request to have the death penalty dropped?
Yeah, let's listen to this because we, in fact, you know, he said he was shocked to hear Tsarnaev apologize for what he had done at the end of the trial. Now, he and other jurors didn't know, and they weren't told that Tsarnaev had apologized in a letter to the U.S. attorney written in 2014 as part of his offer to plead guilty if they spared him from the death penalty. He also didn't know about the Richard family and the fact that they and others had asked the Justice Department, the U.S. attorney, to drop it. Here's what he had to say.
They have to make the best decisions and hopefully, you know, ask for an outcome that would be best for their families. But, you know, that could have also disrupted the process in terms of making it an unadulterated decision by, you know, a jury. So that could have changed the outcome, I'm sure, in retrospect. But I didn't know.
If you had known that, would you have changed your vote?
If I had known that, I probably would change my vote.
David, what's your reaction to that?
Well, they didn't know a lot of things. You can argue whether they should have known certain things or not, but they didn't know a lot of things. And as Kayvon said, if in fact he did know, he would have been breaking the judge's admonition and he wouldn't have been serving on the jury. So that's how it ended. He's, as I said before, he's relatively comfortable with the decision he made.
That's WBUR senior reporter David Boeri speaking to us about his conversation with Kayvon Fagan, juror number 83 in the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev, in his first extended public interview. There's a link to that full interview at radioboston.org. David, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
There's more of the show in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.